Hello, today is Thursday, September 13th, 2018. I'm Joe Schmidt with TC2, and this is Staying Connected. On today's podcast, I'm joined by two of LB3's senior attorneys, Jeff Sheldon and Kevin DeLallo, and we are going to discuss the use of the Internet of Things in the enterprise. Okay, guys, thanks for joining me, and Kevin, let's start with you. What is the Internet of Things?
Joe, the Internet of Things is the newest term for machine-to-machine service, which used to be known as telemetry. In fact, in this podcast, I might use the terms machine-to-machine or IoT interchangeably with Internet of Things. What it refers to is the use of wireless data service to communicate automatically without human intervention, without the need to press the send button, for example. The Internet of Things connects physical objects by networking remote sensors to gather, transmit, and analyze information about those objects.
Right. So as you know, Kevin, I'm a big fan of the smart home, where really everything from TVs, blinds, music systems, lights, fans, and even coffee makers have an IP address, and then they can be controlled over the Internet. But that's really a consumer play. In the enterprise space, how is the Internet of Things, or IoT, as you've just said, how is it being used by industry?
There are lots of examples of how enterprises are using the Internet of Things. Security systems, healthcare diagnostics, vehicle and container tracking, smart cities, and even drones to do inspections for the energy, construction, and insurance industries. Seems like somebody's inventing a new use for machine-to-machine communications almost every week.
Okay, so Jeff, what about utilities and other critical infrastructure industries where I know you do a lot of work?
Right. It's kind of funny, Joe, that utilities have been operating what you could call private IoT systems for many years for things like grid monitoring and control, or for certain edge applications like automated meter reading and demand side management, where utility tries to send pricing signals to customers to curtail their usage during peak hours. It's important when we talk about IoT and some of these sophisticated systems that utilities are in the manufacturing business, but they manufacture just in time and they deliver on an as-needed basis, an on-demand basis, an essential and a very volatile product. So they're managing power from multiple generating sources, different kinds of plants that are connected to the grid in response to immediate demand. And they have to deliver that power over a very limited set of transmission and distribution lines to the ultimate consumer. So it's therefore critical for utilities when they're operating these systems that the monitor and control systems that manage the grid are extremely reliable and secure. However, I mean, we are seeing changes in the market that will make the edge of utility networks more complicated. And that in turn is going to require more robust systems to monitor and control the grid. Some of the market drivers we see at the edge are things like more alternative generation sources like solar and wind, distributed generation systems, maybe even small generation systems that work at the neighborhood level, energy storage systems, electric vehicles, and the growth of smart homes and smart buildings, as Kevin was alluding to earlier.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. You know, another area where we at TC2, and I guess you guys at LB3, are seeing real interest is using wireless. So I'm talking about LTE and I'm sure someday 5G as another access method for the hybrid WAN. And it's really, you know, a very good way to introduce some resiliency into an SD-WAN platform as well. So Kevin, if an enterprise wants to buy an Internet of Things solution, where can they get it?
Well, the most obvious place is the leading commercial mobile service providers, AT&T, Verizon Wireless, Sprint, and T-Mobile.
So presumably these IoT plans are different from the data plans that enterprises have in their corporate agreements for smartphones and MiFi devices, and probably even the machine-to-machine plans that enterprises use for their SD-WAN.
Oh, yeah, there are a lot of differences. For example, all providers require the customer to use a platform or control center to manage the hardware and the service, to add or delete nodes, to change plans, to remotely install software updates and that sort of thing. The platforms come with their own pricing and their own terms and conditions on top of the terms and conditions for the service and for the nodes. And the platforms are usually provided by unaffiliated third parties, but resold by the carriers, which makes the contracting process even more complicated. The carriers would prefer that customers not deal directly with the platform providers and just accept their terms without any changes. Now, you asked about the rate plans. Unlike the commercial wireless data plans, the monthly machine-to-machine or IoT data plans include relatively small quantities of data, starting at a few kilobytes. And on a per-unit basis, they are far more expensive than generic wireless data plans. The service providers say that IoT data plans are more economical and more scalable than enterprise wireless data plans, and thus they're better suited to applications that require only small, regular bursts of data rather than high bandwidth applications like video streaming. Now, as for the terms and conditions for IoT services, they're very one-sided, and they don't bear much resemblance to the T's and C's that you see for commercial wireless services. But these contracts are still very young. They haven't been sanity checked by competitive market forces. So for a while anyway, you should expect to see a lot of one-sided terms and conditions that may give you some concern, and you'll probably encounter some reluctance on the part of the providers to negotiate them. The good news is we expect the contracting environment to improve as the market matures. One of the unusual aspects of IoT service is the relationship between the customer, the enterprise customer, the wireless service provider, and the enterprise customers, end users, or customers. So when an enterprise buys machine-to-machine service and integrates it into a product or service that the enterprise is going to sell to others, the customer-carrier relationship is very hard to define. Providers, service providers like an AT&T or Verizon, want to be invisible to the end users. They disclaim any responsibility for end user losses or harms if the service fails. And all the providers dictate specific language that enterprise customers are required to push down to the end user through end user contracts. What this does is it places the enterprise customer in the position of acting like a carrier, which could potentially raise all kinds of regulatory and legal questions for customers that haven't yet been tested in the courts. One obvious question that arises in this weird three-way relationship is, who's responsible for securing the service and the nodes from cyber attacks? Is it the end user customer? Is it the wireless carrier? Or is it the enterprise customer who's in the middle, buying wireless service from the carrier and selling it as part of a bundled solution to end users? You need to keep in mind that IoT nodes are prime targets for cyber attacks because they are very unsophisticated, very simplistic networked devices that don't have a lot of security built in.
So, Jeff, if utilities and these other critical infrastructure industries did start looking at using the services that Kevin just described, rather than running those private solutions you described, what kind of requirements would they need addressed?
Well, I think Kevin mentioned security, and that factors into what utilities would be looking at. Some functions could be outsourced to a third-party IoT service provider, provided there's no significant threat to operations. For example, applications like meter reading or monitoring the general health of the infrastructure could be outsourced. But even with those, utilities would be looking carefully at a number of factors, things like the extent of coverage over the utility's operating area. Oftentimes, the electric utilities operate over huge service territories, including urban, suburban, rural areas, and carriers may or may not have coverage throughout the entire area. Is the service secure enough to meet federal cybersecurity requirements? And for electric utilities, that could include things like the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's Critical Infrastructure Protection Standards, or CIP standards. How is the customer data going to be protected? Will the system perform under a wide variety of operating conditions? Again, these electric operations can be very extensive. They operate 24/7 through all kinds of weather and other events. And a financial consideration that they would have to take into consideration is what I call technology evolution. Are we confident enough that the service provider will actually support and maintain this product over a sufficient period of time to justify ratepayer investment, both as a prudent matter and in terms of utilities state regulator?
So in your opinion, do you think that utilities will move away from that private solution?
Probably not in the near term. What we will probably see is utilities continuing to operate what I call their private IoT systems for critical applications that impact grid stability. But they could start moving to commercial IoT offerings for value-added services at the edge of the network that pose very low risk to grid operations.
So, Kevin, do you think that enterprises and other industries are going to be just as cautious about jumping on the IoT bandwagon?
I do, Joe. According to a recent Verizon Wireless survey, companies who might be potential users of IoT services are proceeding with caution because of cost considerations and a lack of industry-wide standards and interoperability. A McKinsey study said that adoption of IoT has so far been slow in the industrial sector because of that sector's long capital cycles, some organizational inertia, and lack of trained staff who know how to design and deploy IoT solutions. The result of all of this has been that most enterprise IoT projects have been in the proof of concept or pilot phases rather than production, and most enterprises who have deployed IoT have only done so for simple use cases, for example, to track data and send status alerts, rather than in conjunction with data analytics, which is where the providers say the real value lies.
Okay, to wrap this up, what advice do you guys have for enterprises who might be considering deploying a Internet of Things solution?
Joe, first, an enterprise should decide whether a commercial IoT solution is really what it needs to solve its problem. Given the extra complexity of the contract terms and the nature of IoT data plans, specifically small allotments of data offered at very high per unit rates, an enterprise may be better off with a do-it-yourself solution like Jeff has described, or with commercial wireless data services. You can achieve scalability with commercial data plans if you build them into your service agreement. I've seen it. You might also need more data for your solution than you think. For example, data backup might be better suited to a commercial wireless data plan than a low bandwidth IoT solution, but I've had carriers tell me otherwise. Second, remember who's trying to sell you the IoT plan. We've seen competing sales teams working on different sides of the same provider try to sell different solutions for the same use case. Just because they work for the same parent company doesn't mean they're on the same team. Is a provider proposing to sell the solution under your existing wireless agreement or under your master service agreement? And what are the ramifications of each?
I agree with all that, Kevin. The other thing, the business and legal staff who have to actually live with these solutions have to understand all the contractual implications of going with IoT. There's a lot of customer responsibilities that one does not find in a generic enterprise wireless service, and some hidden costs. In other words, there are other ways a customer could breach an IoT agreement without even realizing it. Read and make sure you understand all the pricing and legal terms before committing to a particular solution.
I totally agree, Jeff. And customers should definitely shop around, maybe do an RFP. The providers aren't marching in lockstep, at least not yet. And your experience with one provider is likely to be vastly different from the experience you'll have with a competitor. Talk to others who have been down this road already and ask what they would do differently. And don't hesitate to call us and pick our brains. We're not trying to discourage listeners from deploying IoT solutions. We just want them to be fully informed.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. And thank you, Jeff. I think this has been really a great discussion. You guys have provided a ton of great insights. And thank you to the listening audience. If you'd like to learn more about the Internet of Things and how it might fit into your organization, or if you'd like to discuss other ICT needs with Kevin, Jeff, me, or any of our LB3 and TC2 colleagues, please give us a call or drop us an email. And you can also stay current by checking out our websites or follow us on LinkedIn.